and welcome to this journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Catalina Albanu. This week, we'll be looking at ways news outlets have been creating engaging stories for their growing mobile audiences. People are getting more and more of their news from smartphones and tablets, and for some publishers, more than half of their audience is coming from mobile devices. And there are, of course, times when people are much more likely to read stories from their phones. For the BBC, for example, election night broke records. Over 80% of its audience accessed the site from their smartphones between 6 and 7 a.m. after election day, checking for results first thing after they woke up. But in terms of format, what do mobile audiences want to see, and how can media outlets best address these needs? Bloomberg Business Europe editor Nate Langson spoke at the PBS Journalism Innovation Summit last week about his new challenge of reaching Bloomberg's mobile readers. I caught up with him after his talk to get a better idea of what's ahead.
One of the biggest challenges that I'm facing at Bloomberg in turning our video content into multi-platform content is having to bear in mind how people change the devices they're using based on the time of day. So for a business audience, we get a lot of people who are sitting at their computers and at their desktops all day, and a large portion of Bloomberg's audience is desktop because of that. But between the hours of, say, 6 and 9 a.m., people are trying to get a lot smarter for the day ahead. They're not necessarily looking to just be entertained in our side. They're trying to get as much information as fast as possible. So the way we're thinking about video is, how do we make sure that every single second of video counts? It doesn't have to go down the route of just being very entertaining or relax you before the day ahead. People want to get knowledge. They want to get facts quickly. An interview with, say, a CEO that may last 5 or 6 minutes works brilliantly on television. But when you take that into digital, you really have to think, well, you know, look at YouTube as an example. 5 seconds before you can skip an ad, because they understand that if you're not engaged in that ad within 5 seconds, you have lost the attention of that person and they don't care and they're going to switch off. So you have to think, how can you make that first 5 seconds of digital video as compelling as possible? We're right at the beginning of tackling that. You know, we've literally been live for 3 weeks in Europe as part of Bloomberg Business Europe. And so one of our next sort of big missions is to think, well, when you have TV studios around the world and you have cameras in 100 odd bureaus, how do you suddenly just change that to fit a specific time frame and even a specific device for a specific type of person? You know, it's very challenging, but exciting.
So if you've only got 5 seconds to get people's attention, what can you do? And what should you absolutely not do?
Personally, I use podcasting as a bad practice example. I'm a podcaster myself and have been for many years. And the thing that I hate the most about podcasts are intros that last for too long. So with my own podcasts, I try and chop off as much at the beginning as possible, because if you take that assumption of 5 seconds to be true for editorial as well as commercial, you need to hook people in 5 seconds. So there's no room for long-winded introductions and rambling between hosts. And that is totally the same for digital video as well, I think. You know, you really have to get right in at the start, hook people, and basically give them a reason not to go back to their Twitter stream, back to Reddit, back to RSS, whatever thing they're using. They've got so much stuff screaming at them that if you don't grab them by the neck, figuratively of course, within about 5 seconds, then you're kind of screwed.
So if you're still with me by this point in the podcast, I must be doing something right. Also at the summit, BBC social media editor Chris Hamilton gave a keynote speech outlining ways the broadcaster is gearing itself up to hunt for new audiences. As part of his talk, he contrasted a TV package with an online version of the same story. The online video was just raw footage, a format Langson says could work, but would be fairly difficult for an organization like Bloomberg Media, where interviews with chief executives make up a lot of the output.
Sometimes you just need to put a lot of raw footage out there, and it can be quite long, but if it's so gripping and intense that people can't really have an excuse to switch off. You know, we saw an example about a 4-minute raw footage from what it was like being a reporter in, I think it was in somewhere in the Middle East anyway, getting pinned down by IS. You know, it's very difficult to switch off from that. But in the same presentation, we saw video that had to be cut to 15 seconds. It had to be usable without sound, because not everyone's listening to sound. And I think it's really interesting to think, how do you do video that both doesn't need sound, or could or could not be watched? So it works both ways. And I think that's fascinating. And again, really true of podcasting as well. You know, you need to make something that, if it's visual, it needs to be able to work. Most of them need to be able to work. when you can't look at it. And I think if it's video that you're looking at, it needs to work with that audio too. And that's a massive challenge, particularly when you're interviewing CEOs.
Natalie Malinovich, BBC News Online mobile editor, says publishers should be careful to present raw footage in the right context.
I think it really depends on the story, and sometimes it's incredibly powerful, but it probably won't explain the story, so you might need several short videos, one of which is raw and the other might be an explainer, so you have to work out how they all fit together.
She held a workshop on engaging mobile content at the event and gave us an insight into what has been working well at the BBC.
People use mobiles in many different ways, so you're trying to serve quite a range of different needs, but one of the main ones is people using mobile for very short periods of time, often when they're waiting for something or in between things, and therefore it's how you fit news into that. So it's how you grab people's attention straight away. It's also how you retain that attention. So it's basically, I think there's something about getting rid of all the padding that sometimes comes with news and with video in particular. So I think in terms of explainers and videos in general, I think very short videos with text on top so you don't need headphones have proved very successful for us. I think in terms of text, explainers that really address the key points and don't deviate and are very easy to read, so it's creating format that's very scannable, so I can just alight on the question I'm interested in, work very well. And I think more interactive things as well, quizzes that, you know, might be about serious stories, but actually keep you engaged in the news, and a different way of finding out about what's going on in the world.
If you'd like to see a type of explainer that works without the audio on, check out BBC Shorts. Initially designed for Instagram, they are now used across social networks by the BBC, and even on chat apps such as Line, where the channel has over 1 million subscribers. These are 15-second videos with text overlaid over visuals, and they deal with a wide range of subjects from reports on IS to the migrant crisis and to new technologies. The format is also fairly easy to translate in different languages, meaning the videos can be published quickly through local channels. The videos are usually hashtagged BBC Shorts on Instagram, so you can check out the format with a quick search if you'd like. Malinovich shared her own mobile reading habits with journalism.co.uk, and there's never a single source, but a combination of brands she goes to in different cases.
I'm quite promiscuous, I think, in terms of news, so I obviously read our own site. I tend to check the New York Times very early on, The Economist Espresso, and then I have to say I get most of my recommendations from Twitter. I just spend a lot of time, and that's what I mean. It's kind of often between meetings or just when I have, you know, a few minutes, so I might read, just scan lots of different articles. I don't necessarily read them all. If I'm really interested, I save them and I read them later.
So how long is too long on a phone?
I don't think it will be the biggest platform for long form ever, but I do think there is room for it. And I think, again, it's people, you know, if something's very engaging, very interesting, and all they have to hand is a mobile, they will read long form on a mobile. I think mainly long form pieces tend to be designed for tablets because it's just the experience is much nicer. But, you know, I myself have read 20,000 word pieces on mobile and it's fine.
And of course, now we have Facebook Instant Articles, as the social network offered publishers a new way to get stories to load quicker for Facebook mobile users. One of the news outlets who signed up for a trial is the BBC, who will be testing it out with stories from Newsbeat, the Radio 1 spin-off for young audiences. It's still early days, but what could it mean?
I kind of feel there's a certain inevitability to it. And can I just say, this is not the BBC position, this is my personal view. I think, you know, obviously there are risks involved, but I also think you can't just stand on sidelines. You need to work out how it works for you.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Catalina Albanu. Let us know what types of stories you love or hate to see on mobile by tweeting us at Journalism News.